This is Fresh Air. In his 1987 bestseller, Cultural Literacy, E.D. Hirsch argued that there is a basic core of knowledge one needs in order to thrive in contemporary America. Too many Americans, he said, don't have this knowledge. At the back of his book was his list of what literate Americans know. His inclusions and omissions started a national debate. Hirsch criticized the schools for the decline of cultural literacy. Now he's trying to remedy that with an elementary school curriculum that he's designed with the help of a multicultural board of advisors. It's already been adopted by several schools. He'd like to see a core curriculum adopted nationally, following the lead of countries like France, Japan, and England, which have standardized curricula. Hirsch has published his core curricula in a series of books about what your grade school children need to know. But even those who agree with his basic premise might find themselves disagreeing with his specific choices of what children should know. For instance, should it be mandatory that first graders know what smallpox is, who the Aztecs were, and have memorized Mother Goose nursery rhymes?
The general answer is this is what our advisors, who were highly diverse, agreed on as a core. This isn't just my core. I hope you understand. There were people all over the country, really hundreds of them, who helped advise us about what this core should be. And there was an elaborate conference where people came from all over the country representing different groups, including different ethnic groups, multicultural advisory committee, and so on. Elaborate process we went through in making these choices. But your question about why make it mandatory, I think that's the thing that Americans are, as a group, are not used to. And that really is the question, why have a core curriculum? Because you can't have a core curriculum without making specific items of knowledge mandatory. And so I come back again to this general question. We haven't had that kind of mandatory a requirement in the United States. So naturally, one wants to ask, as a red-blooded American, who is going to make us do this? Why should this be imposed on us? And my general answer is, it won't be imposed on you. I mean, this has to be chosen voluntarily. And I think the first step is to understand that we cannot have a good educational system unless we do adopt an elementary core curriculum.
Okay, if we agree, though, that there are certain things that should be shared knowledge, then we have to agree on what those things are.
That's right.
And I'm wondering, with something like Mother Goose, like if parents have stopped doing Mother Goose nursery rhymes with their kids, or if Mother Goose doesn't work in some cultures within America, maybe we don't need it anymore. Maybe television and radio and video has replaced children's needs for those particular nursery rhymes. And if those nursery rhymes are perhaps on the verge of dying out on their own, maybe we should let them go.
Absolutely. I'm completely with you. I'm not for trying to sort of resuscitate and revive a dying patient as far as nursery rhymes and other elements of culture go. And that's something that has to be decided. But let's go back to your alternative proposal, which is that television has sort of killed Mother Goose. I think it has to be understood that school is even more powerful than television, because school is just one channel. And television in most towns now has 32 channels, as you know. There's been a good deal of complaint that there isn't even a TV culture anymore now with cable television.
Let me get to something else that troubled me a little within the book, What Your First Grader Needs to Know. And I flipped to the section on jazz to see what you had to say about that, because I listened to a lot of it and was just kind of curious what the group came up with that first graders should know about jazz. So there's a little section on Louis Armstrong, a couple of paragraphs, and it says, Satchmo became so famous that he played his music all across America. He played so well that the others in the band would stop playing or play very quietly just to listen to him alone. This is called playing a solo. Solo means alone. And he was the first to play solos in jazz. Now, I mean, I don't think anybody would really make a case that the solo in jazz was invented by people stopping to listen to Armstrong because he was playing so well.
In other words, it's probably the expert who wrote that was wrong, is what you were saying. And gosh, I presume you're probably right about that. So again, let's say that you're right, and we'll have to correct that. That was a mistake in the book. I think that it's, to be fair, what we have to answer is, should an effort like this be made with all of its flaws, all of its potential virtues, assuming we as we tried our best to make these books as good as we could and to reach decisions about what should go into them in as democratic a way as we could, should this effort be made? And if I may say, it sounds like you're resisting the very idea of a mandatory core.
Well, no, let me say, I think you're not being fair in a way, because your book isn't an argument for a shared curriculum. Your book is the curriculum. Your book is what it is that first graders need to know. So I think it's
true.
It's not fair for you to just revert back to, no, the argument is that there should be something shared, because what your book is the curriculum itself.
That's
true. So that's
why
I'm looking at that specifically.
It's a 50% curriculum, and you're calling it my book.
I realize it's done with a board of advisors, and that you're not responsible for every item in it. But since you're the general editor, I think I'm sure you feel
do you see anything
accountable for
true,
it.
True, I do. And I'm just wondering, since you seem to you didn't like Mother Goose, and you didn't like the comment about how solo got created in jazz, whether there was any actually good qualities that you saw in what your first grader needs to know.
Well, there were, but I guess my larger question with it is how these things are decided and how arbitrary they sometimes are.
It's true.
And therefore that becomes one of the inherent difficulties in a core curriculum.
It's true.
But I guess the larger issue is, if you're setting yourself up as the arbiter of what it is we should know,
yes,
whether it's in a book like Cultural Literacy or this, then we really have to look carefully at what decisions you're making.
Absolutely.
And what gives you the authority to make them.
Well, nothing gives anybody the authority to be elected except the people that make the decision. But I think anybody has the authority to run to be a candidate. And I guess what this project is doing is insisting that we need to put some candidates forward. We need to have a specific core curriculum in elementary school. And we need to do it as soon as we can. The longer we delay doing this, the longer our kids are languishing, and particularly disadvantaged kids. I mean, the people who seem to resist the idea of a core are very often more on the political left than on the political right, and yet one of the aims of the political left is equality of education. And it seems to me I would want to make the argument that you cannot have equality of educational opportunity without an elementary core curriculum. It's a pretty categorical statement. And it's true you might find disagreements with the particular candidate core that we're putting forward. But would you want to take issue with the idea that you cannot have a fair education, equality of educational opportunity, without a nationwide elementary core? That to me is the most important issue.
My guest is E.D. Hirsch, author of the bestseller Cultural Literacy and editor of the new core curriculum series for parents and teachers of elementary school students. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is E.D. Hirsch, who's probably best known as the author of Cultural Literacy. Now he has a new series of books called the Core Knowledge Series. A couple of those have been published, including What Your First Grader Needs to Know. I'm wondering, though, if you think, you know, is the larger problem the lack of a core curriculum? Because it seems to me that there's always been some kind of core curriculum in the schools. Or is it that, in spite of the fact that there's been a core curriculum, because of problems within the larger culture and within the schools themselves, the curriculum isn't being learned?
Yes, I've heard, of course, both of those views, and I would challenge both of them. First of all, that there already is let's take them up. First of all,
sure,
that
there
already is a core in the schools. Usually the argument is made by people who assume that each school district has a curriculum, a rather systematic curriculum, and it's not so very different from from other districts. And the argument usually made to defend that is that there are only a few textbooks available, and everybody has to follow the textbooks and so on. That's the usual reason, because few people have done any research about what actually goes on in the hundreds of thousands of classrooms across the country. Now, let me give you an anecdotal piece of evidence about whether there really is a core curriculum in the country.
Mm-hmm.
A reporter, the people who are putting this into practice down in Florida in the Three Oaks School in Lee County.
Putting your core curriculum into practice.
That's right.
Yeah.
A reporter asked the principal, also rather skeptically, what did you have to give up in order to put this core knowledge sequence into practice? And the principal said, nothing. Not only was there not a core curriculum in place in that school, but in each classroom in that school, the teacher was interpreting the vague district guidelines in his or her own way. And so that's the basic problem that I see in the curriculum in American education, is that even within the same school, a kid will come out of first grade knowing very different things from one classroom than they know in another, and the second grade teacher can't depend on those kids knowing anything in particular, with the results that I mentioned about the ineffectiveness of classroom education in early grades.
Let's get to the other question. Is the larger problem within the schools the absence of a core curriculum, or is the larger problem the fact that no matter what curriculum exists, because of larger social problems in our culture and in the schools themselves, the curriculum is often not learned?
Well, we have to be speculative about that because, of course, it has not been tried in our country, and so we don't know whether social inequities can be partly overcome by having a very solid content-oriented core curriculum in the early grades. But there is very strong evidence if we look at other countries. Let me point out just one way in which disadvantaged children are helped by having a very specific core. If it's known what a child should know in second grade, then, and a child doesn't know those specific things, then it's very helpful for the person remediating the child, spending extra time to teach those specific things. There's much more definite guidance. So remediation is much more effective. So even though I would agree with you that there are many, many problems out there, malnutrition, broken families, lack of stimulation of the child, tremendous social problems in the inner city, I would also say that making our schools better is certainly going to help those problems. And the single most effective reform that I can think of to make them better is to have a specifically defined core that will put everybody on an equal footing, or at least try to come close to that ideal.
For years, you have been suggesting to Americans things that we should know as a culture, as a group, so that we understand each other and so that we have this shared base of knowledge to better communicate with each other. I'm wondering if in the years since you wrote Cultural Literacy, if you decided that there were things you needed to know that you did not previously know about, that you needed to broaden yourself with.
Absolutely.
What were those
things?
It was
very educational, mostly in Black culture. And tremendous gaps in that. I was a product of course, my narrow Eurocentric education. And I would say that's the one area which has been most enriching for me, is to learn about African-American culture and African-American contributions to American culture. And, of course, you'll find a good deal of that not just in these two books that we're talking about, but also in the larger grades sequence, grades 1 through 6, that the foundation makes available to schools.
Your book, Cultural Literacy, was published at around the same time as Alan Bloom's book, The Closing of the American Mind. And you've tried to really separate yourself from his book and said that what you're doing is really different from the kind of great books approach that you think he's advocating. And I'd like for you to explain where you think you are different from what he's advocating.
Alan Bloom is an avowed and proud elitist, and the impulse behind Cultural Literacy was egalitarian. It's paradoxical because, of course, there was a stress on high culture and on what you might call elitist culture, but the reason for that stress was to enable everybody to join the club. So long as people are prejudiced, and so long as people are discriminated against because of their, for example, their use of incorrect grammar or their lack of knowledge of high culture. It's it leads to social inequities. And so really, cultural literacy, instead of saying this is a defense of high culture, was a way of saying these are the things you need to know if you want to join the club, and let's quit keeping it a secret. Now I think I've gone far beyond that, and I've come to realize that something more deep is involved, and that in order for kids to be functioning learners in the early grades, we really have to take a much more systematic and common approach to the content of what they're taught in those grades.
E.D. Hirsch is the editor of a new series of core curricula for grade schools. The first two volumes for first and second graders have just been published. This is Fresh Air.